Life Matters, a Penn Mutual podcast for financial professionals. Bringing you life insurance insights from advanced sales experts and life insurance specialists. Grow a stronger practice today.
Welcome to Life Matters, a Penn Mutual podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bell, Vice President of Advanced Sales with Penn Mutual, and it is my honor to be with you here today. Now, this is a great episode because we invited one of our awesome regional vice presidents, Tom Meyer, who covers the Midwest and helps out in the Northeast. And Tom and I have been friends for 20 plus years. So when we were putting together our list of guests for future podcast episodes, Tom was very high on that list because I knew he would have some great insights to share with the listeners. Now, a few things that we did talk about. We talked about what really makes Penn Mutual special. We talked about what he's seeing out there in the field that's working for financial professionals. And if you're a fan of Van Halen and Cincinnati type of chili, you're definitely going to want to listen. So let's stop wasting any time and get to the conversation I had with Tom. All right. It is my extreme honor to introduce somebody who owns many leather-bound books and whose basement smells of rich mahogany. My good friend, our regional vice president. What region do you serve, Tom?
The Midwest, and I help out with the Northeast.
So the Midwest and Northeast, Tom Meyer. Tom, welcome to Life Matters, a Penn Mutual podcast.
Bill, it is an honor to be here and to share experiences as well as leather-bound books with you today.
Oh, we're going to break into some Charles Dickens later on in the podcast episode here today. Just kidding. I would never have any idea what it actually says inside those books. So we'll skip that. So Tom, somebody else put together some questions for me before I got to editing the script here for today. So I'm going to read some of these because I find them quite humorous.
Okay.
But the first one is, you've had an impressive career across the industry going back to the early 2000s. But before that, I know you spent a number of years in banking. What inspired you to make the switch over to life insurance?
Well, you know what? There's an interesting story, and I'll try to make it as short as I can. I worked in bank branches, and I sold a lot of single-pay life insurance, annuities, et cetera. In the branch that I was in West Dayton. And if anybody's familiar with that area, there was a pretty rough part, but it was actually one of the biggest deposit bases in the city of Dayton. And it had a lot of good customers. I did very, very well there. The only problem is I got on a first name basis with the FBI agents that were always there to investigate the 10 bank robberies that happened while I was there. And my wife, she was pregnant with our first child. She really realized that I liked my job quite a bit, but I did make a promise to her that if it happened one more time, that I would find another job. And little did I know that following Wednesday, it happened again, and I kept my promise. So I was pretty tight with an individual that I worked with at Bank One that ended up leaving for an insurance company to build out a distribution system in their captive agency force. And I was able to find a job there pretty quick. And so began the run of the life insurance professional.
All right. We're not saying anything negative about the beautiful city of Dayton, Ohio, just to get that out there so that if anybody from Dayton is listening, we love Dayton.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very good. And that answer is a lot longer than I thought it was going to be because I thought you were just going to say they were hiring.
Well, you know, certainly we've had that conversation numerous times, Bill, but you know, there was a little bit more than they were hiring behind it. So,
all right. Fair enough. Now, you have worked for some other insurance companies before coming over to Penn Mutual.
Yes.
What makes Penn Mutual special to you as somebody that's a field representative for the company?
You know what? There are so many tangible things, you know, like a great product lineup, the accelerated client experience delivery system, insight, and the people, you know, that work here. The thing that I absolutely love the most is the culture that's been developed from the top to the bottom. Everyone in Penn Mutual understands who our customer is, and that's the financial professional. The fact that life insurance is not bought, that it's sold, and our company's commitment to provide resources to help our financial professionals, our customers, you know, do one of the hardest things that there is to do, have very difficult conversations with their client about planning, is a testament to the company. And I think the fact that everybody understands that within the organization really has us moving in one direction, and it makes working here a whole lot of fun.
Is there one moment in time where after you started with Penn Mutual, you're like, wow, this place is different. This place is really special.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, it was throughout the entire interviewing process. You know, before I came on, I had the opportunity to interview with a lot of our senior executives, as well as the folks that were integral in the Independence Financial Distribution Network. And honestly, you could just get the vibe that people really loved what they did. And as I started January 1st of 2019, it didn't take long to really understand and get immersed into the culture here and really enjoy it. So there's not really one thing, but if I had to narrow it down, you know, beyond the interview process, it was probably when I put my first application in through the ACE system to see exactly how streamlined that process is. Gave me a great understanding of what we're doing here, not only in helping our clients, our customers, the financial professional, but helping them get something to market in a very expedited and efficient way was really eye-opening. And at that moment, I kind of knew that, you know, what we were doing was extremely special.
See, I thought you were just going to say, Bill, when you joined the company is really when I knew that this was a special place to be.
See, Bill, there's a number of things that have built on to each other. That's just the most recent. I will say the Friday, September 1st, 2023, I believe is.
That is correct. Yeah.
That is one of the most monumental, you know, pieces that has happened since I started. So if we're going in chronological order, that's fair.
All right. Thank you for building up my ego. Not that I need any help in that. Welcome. All right. I think that really the primary thing that most of our listeners will want to hear about is what you're seeing in the field. Because I think a lot of people, they sit in their office wherever they are regionally throughout the country, whether it's East Coast, Midwest, in the South, in the West, and they think, hey, what's working for other people out there? And you've got a great perspective because you have a territory that covers a lot of different markets. Like you have Boston and you have Chicago in your territory, and those are very different insurance markets. So you get to see a lot of different planning strategies and ideas that are working out there for people, but they still involve life insurance. And so Everybody is curious to know what it is that's working out there right now. So Tom, what are some of the sales concepts that you are seeing that are really driving business throughout the life insurance industry these days?
You know, in the executive benefits arena, I would have to say split dollar is a big thing for us. One of the regional marketing directors on my team, Bobby Fendi, has really built an expertise in that area and has the folks that, you know, do a lot of that type of business. And it's one of those items that we underwrite very, very well from a financial perspective and are looked to because of the quality of product. In addition to that, you know, premium financing, even though interest rates have gone up, for the market that we are looking for premium financing to come out of, 15 million of net worth or higher, we're still very, very competitive in that space, and it's still a very good sale. And then, you know what? You had one of the guests on the previous podcast, Scott McHenry. In addition to him, there are a number of professionals across the country and even in our territory that are very capable of telling the story about insurance inside of qualified plans and how that can be a very effective planning tool, not only for current year tax planning, but also for, you know, estate planning and things like that along the way. So I would say those are the three main topics. Day in, day out, we get into a lot of blocking and tackling with just basic protection needs and overfunded life insurance retirement planning types of sales. But those are the big ticket items that if I had to answer that right now, what is working best for us, it's those three items.
And from a product perspective, do you see a lot of differences based on regionality? Like, do you see more whole life and guaranteed types of products up in the Northeast versus Chicago and other places within your territory, which maybe there's a little more VUL or IUL type of focus?
Yeah, it is interesting. Up in the Northeast, there's a lot of whole life, a lot of GUL, guarantee rich type of contracts that are written. I would say more in the Midwest, you know, we're seeing a lot of IUL, VUL, and then kind of using a whole life insurance policy as an asset to overfund as that bond alternative. So it is kind of amazing. If you looked at the product mix between those two territories, they're not going to be drastically different, but they're definitely going to be noticeable. In fact, I think the Midwest region, you know, last couple of years has been the number one writer of IUL inside of the Independence Financial Network. So that just speaks to that claim.
And where are you seeing growth these days? I mean, we look at the metrics internally here, and we're definitely seeing more interest in IUL than in past years. But you as a regional wholesaler, regional vice president, you really see kind of what's being shown and what's being illustrated out there. Where is the growth as far as product lines go?
VUL has definitely grown. You know, the products that we have there with our limited distribution, it's been a great story and it's been a success thus far. You know, we've seen a lot of folks come back to our IUL. You know, we didn't make many of the changes and put bright, flashy signs all over IUL and did some of the things. We kept our product transparent and easy to understand. And we've seen over the last probably 3 to 4 years, kind of a return to that quality of a product that is easy to understand and honestly laden with guarantees. And then our whole life product, I mean, it probably accounts for about 40% of our total number in our region. And it's amazing. You know, it's that old tin can, but that tin can got really flexible and accumulates a lot of money. And it's something that we've definitely taken advantage of. So as far as areas of growth, you know, in policy count, we're seeing a lot of term insurance come in as well. So, you know, we're very pleased for whatever piece of business that a financial professional wants to place with us. We're very pleased and quite honestly fortunate that we've got product lines that are competitive in every single cell that are out there.
So let me see if I can summarize that a little bit. Regardless of the flavor of life insurance that a FP is looking at, Penn Mutual likely has a solution because of the fact that we have good whole life, we have variable universal life, we have IUL, we have GUL, we have survivorship products, and we have TARP. Do I have that correct?
You nailed it.
Terrific. All right. Couple of other questions in regards to kind of what you're seeing out there. Obviously, Penn Mutual is a mutual life insurance carrier, thus the mutual in our name.
Yes.
Does being mutual really make a difference for you when you're talking to financial professionals out there?
100%. Being mutual is certainly one of the biggest attractions, you know, from my perspective, when we're out talking to our customers, our financial professionals. It allows us to make certain that we are putting our best foot forward at all time. And when you're managing a company to surplus, you've got a lot more flexibility to stay to the plan, to do what's right for the ultimate end client, the customer of the financial professional, and to make certain that we're going to leave the company better off than when we got here. In our 177-year history, that doesn't happen unless we are a mutual structure.
So for the high-end financial professionals that you work with, that are working with affluent clients, do you really see a flight to mutual carriers, not just Penn Mutual, but other mutuals out there?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because that story resonates that, you know, everything is being done for the end consumer. And it puts a lot of trust in the high-end financial professional and product selection to know that we're managing surplus, not the quarterly earnings, to keep a disinterested third party satisfied.
Now, you've mentioned it already a couple of times, but the ACE platform.
Yes.
Why is that a differentiator for you as a regional vice president?
Well, you know, it was developed long before COVID happened. You know, when you take a look at the slowdown in COVID, we had phenomenal growth years during that period of time. And I think it had a lot to do with the system continually being honed and being in existence. And what it's done is it's taken the life cycle of an application. You know, say it used to take 60 days. Now it might be 30 days or even less, depending on how quickly the client goes through. And the fact that we now have the ability to do up to 10 million with the potential to not have fluids or APSs is absolutely incredible. You know, it's getting closer to, you know, if you go to a car lot as an analogy, you shop around, you find the car you want, you typically leave with it at the end of the day. The more that we can shorten that life cycle of a life insurance application, the better off we're going to be in helping making certain that that policy is placed. And I think that even speaks volumes, given the fact that our placement ratio is so high with ACE.
So this is not promissory in any way, but What is the fastest you've ever seen where somebody submitted a case through ACE and the policy was actually put in place?
Okay, so for me personally, the fastest that I've seen, it was $130,000 target premium, and it was done in 2 days from the time it was started to the time it was paid. And that happened to be on a Friday too, where our commissions closed out. So the financial professional got paid the following Wednesday, Thursday. So, you know, all in about a week's time, we had a start of an application to our financial professional being compensated for that sale. I've heard others say that it's been as quick as 4 hours. So it's really amazing. It's a system that has you go through the entire process in such a way that you're not going to get nickel and dime for forms. Everything in order to be submitted goes sequentially so that it's in good order. And quite honestly, the experience from the client standpoint is fantastic as well and easy to understand.
So have you seen any other carriers with anything close to ACE out there from an electronic submission standpoint?
I've not, Bill. I've seen, you know, the attempts to get there. The fact that we recently went up to 10 million on March the 1st is further proof that we are well ahead of the game. And honestly, have not. I don't think there is one out there like it. And, you know, hats off to the folks back in Horsham that came up with this delivery system and understanding of how to do it back in the day, because it's helped us out with policy count to make sure that we're a well-diversified company, as well as improving that experience, not only for our customer, the financial professional, but their customers as well.
Very good. And some of our listeners might not be aware, but Horsham, Pennsylvania is where the home office of Penn Mutual is. That is where the reference to the folks in Horsham that Tom just made came from.
The fine folks in Horsham.
The fine folks in beautiful Horsham. Because we don't just call it Horsham. It's beautiful Horsham.
Beautiful Horsham.
Beautiful Horsham. So any trends from a technology standpoint outside of ACE and kind of electronic submissions that you're seeing within the industry that you think are going to be a differentiator going forward for not just Penn Mutual, but for other companies out there?
You know, I think AI is going to have some sort of an impact on our industry. To what extent, I don't know. The beautiful thing about our industry is that it's relationship-based. People that seek advice want to deal with the folks that are going to be giving it to them directly. So it's really hard to determine how things like AI will happen. But I do think that there are constant improvements if we just take a step back and look at the things that we're doing. In addition to ACE, that are going to continue to help not only pre-sale underwriting, but also post-sale with some of the advances that we've made on our insight system with push notifications, et cetera, reminders to do certain things. It certainly is going to make the servicing of a Penn Mutual policy that much easier moving forward. To tell you the truth, I'm not really certain, you know, outside of the items that we're doing, what to really expect from a technology standpoint. Just know fully well that 2 years from now, things could look completely different, depending on how quickly they grab on. And I think that we are very, very blessed to be in a position to where we will take advantage of those items if it will improve the experience for our customers, as well as our customers' customers.
All right, we're going to change gears now a little bit and get a little more focused on what you do on a day-to-day basis. So I'm going to ask you two questions at once here. So obviously, you've been doing this for a while, and you've had thousands of meetings with financial professionals over the years. Is there one that stands out in your mind where you thought to yourself, wow, what we do on a day-to-day basis really makes a difference in people's lives? And then conversely, is there one meeting where you left and you're like, man, why do I do this to myself every single day? And I'm never going back to that office again.
Yeah. The one meeting that is absolutely a profound thing and really hit home for me happened early in my career. I was working at another carrier and I was helping do point of sale work with an agent, you know, of that particular carrier. And the carrier that I worked for, it was really, really smart. They had inside life requirements to max out contracts, but the people that worked there were generally very, very good and they just wanted to do the right thing. And I was helping this particular individual who had a newly married couple. They had had a child previously, but had gotten married and it was time for them to get life insurance. And it wasn't much, you know, it was maybe a $250,000 death benefit case that we put on the husband and another $250,000 on the mom. And this gentleman worked second shift. So he was going in at, you know, say 3 in the afternoon and leaving at 9 o'clock. And we met him early around lunchtime, took the application, got the underwriting process started, got him approved, policy placed, et cetera. About 2 weeks after the policy was put in force, he was coming home from work. He got hit by a drunk driver. And unfortunately, he passed on. You know, I wasn't part of the delivery of the death claim, but the agent that I was working with was, and he delivered the death claim, and she never asked what type of a policy it was. She didn't say, no, this is too much. She was very thankful that he was there at the moment in time when those funds were needed the most. And a couple months after that death claim was delivered, he was in the neighborhood visiting somebody else, and he noticed she was taking groceries in, you know, to the house from the minivan. And I think the daughter was 6 years old at the time. And he had turned around and he wanted to go in and just say hello, check in, see how things were doing. By the time he had gotten turned around and got out of his car, they were in the house. It was a spring day. So the doors were open and, you know, they had a nice screen door. And he went up and knocked on the screen door, and the little girl came to the door and could hear in the kitchen, you know, the mom say, well, who is it? You know, like that. And the little girl said, it's the man that bought us our house. And that one hit me. No matter how big the case is, no matter what it is, it's a very noble profession that we participate in. And, you know, helping others in their worst time is one of the biggest benefits that I think comes out of this. On the other side, to answer your question, I've had a lot of meetings, thousands and thousands and thousands of meetings, and some that you think went really, really well and nothing ever comes out of it. And then some that, man, you know, it just, what did I say kind of a thing, because it didn't go real well. But I can think of one where I called somebody by the wrong name and was summarily, continually, like three times. And this was early in my wholesaling career. I think the person's name was Chris, and I kept calling Pat. And finally, he got up and he said, I gave you this time. You haven't got my name right. And he asked me to leave. So that one was on me. That was not on him. But I learned very, very quickly to make certain that if I didn't know the individual that I was sitting down with, that I grabbed a business card and never made that mistake again.
Okay, those are two good stories. You got me a little teary about the story about the young family, because it's a hard job that we do, but it really does make a difference in people's lives. And I think that the more people that hear those stories, the more motivated that they are to really help our clients and make sure that we're providing them the tools and resources that they need, because the products that we sell really do make a difference.
100% they do. And it's all relative, that difference that can be made. And two things that will never be asked when a death claim is delivered, or two things that won't be said. One is a question. No one will ever ask what type of a policy it was. They don't care. And that same person will never say, no, that's too much. And really, when you get down to it, that's why I really believe that what we're doing in any capacity, whether, you know, you're selling directly to the end consumer, or you're supporting with an illustration, or you're going through a new business, or you're in a role like mine where, you know, you're out hawking the wares of a particular carrier, it's very, very important that we view it through that lens. And that's one of the things that keeps me going day in and day out.
Well said, sir. One last question in regards to kind of what you're seeing out there. So again, you've had thousands of meetings over the years with thousands of financial professionals. What are the traits that you see in financial professionals that make them successful?
They can vary, but I think the biggest things are a hunger to help. Yes, everybody wants to have a successful, thriving practice. But when you get down to keeping the main thing, how can we help clients? And how can we, you know, show our emotional intelligence to recognize things that might not be said? Those folks that have those two skills, by and large, will be successful in whatever they do, but especially in the financial services piece. Professionals that have the ability to build relationships, because this is the ultimate relationship business. You know, I've been very blessed in my career to be able to build relationships with people that not only do I view them as my customers, but more importantly, I'm blessed enough to be able to call them friends. And I think the folks that have that capability to be able to make that connection with their clients will ultimately be successful as well. And quite honestly, people that are not afraid to grind. You know, we see folks that are in various stages of their career and, you know, someone that's built a thriving, successful practice, and maybe they're on the back end of their career, they have a common trait with a person that we know is going to be successful coming up the chain. And that is the determination to help the client, to provide them advice and counsel on them achieving their goals, and the ability to continue to grind. Even when things aren't going well, you're out there working, you're trying, you're having another appointment, you're doing that one extra thing that the competition isn't doing, but you're doing it with the focus of the client in front of you.
Terrific. All right. So we recently reconfigured, retooled, built the advanced sales team here at Penn Mutual. For somebody like yourself, why does having a top-notch advanced sales team really make the difference for you?
Bill, I'll be honest with you. I think our distribution is the best distribution in the country at any carrier. And I truly believe that. I think we've got quality, talented people, you know, out there calling on financial professionals every day. I think your department gets us next level. I think having the resources, the expertise, and being able to talk about a vast array of concepts, whether it's executive benefits to premium financing to, you know, spousal lifetime access trusts, and being able to provide that expertise and consultation with our financial professionals is invaluable. When I heard that you were coming over, I knew right off the bat that that was going to be the piece that was going to help us continue to grow and make a splash in the independent space. And I can't tell you, you know, in our careers, you know, they've run alongside each other for a very, very long time. I can't tell you how excited I was when I heard that you were coming over and that you were going to have the ability to build this department, because I saw that instantly as our opportunity to grow internally, but also to help our financial professionals grow, knowing fully well that they've got the confidence to be able to present what is right for the client and do it in a manner that will be above board.
Terrific. Well, my ego sufficiently satisfied at this point here, so thank you for that. All right, let's get to a couple of fun questions here.
All right, let's go.
So our listeners might have already picked up on the fact that you and I have known each other for a long time and we have some common interests. My first fun question for you, what is the best Van Halen album?
Oh, golly. You know what? It's got to be, for me, it's either Van Halen 1 or Fair Warning.
Fair Warning. I was not expecting that one.
Yeah, I'm pulling that one out there because it wasn't quite the upbeat party rock. It was a little bit darker. You know, you got Mean Streets on there. You've got Unchained. Don't want to hear about it later. I mean, there's some good stuff on there. In fact, a couple Fridays ago, I was making a trip back home from being out in the field, and I had made a playlist, and I shared that playlist with Ray Couchy, another Van Halen lover, and it had no Van Hagar songs on there, and it was pretty heavy with Fair Warning. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was going to say we could completely dismiss the Van Hagar era. It's just not the same. No offense to the Red Rocker. I mean, a legend in his own right, but it's just a different band altogether.
Yeah, it's not party rock. It wasn't party rock.
Yeah. See, I would have gone with either Van Halen 1 or 1984.
Yeah.
Another good choice, but I think ultimately Van Halen 1 is still my favorite.
Yeah, nothing beats the bass line, don't, you know, and Running with the Devil to start an album. I will tell you, though, my favorite Van Halen song is Panama. So it's on the 1984 album. So.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, too. All right. Now, another fun question for you. So On the last two episodes of Life Matters of Penn Mutual podcast, I had a co-host, Jenna Washaka, who is one of our superstars in the advanced sales area. Now, Jana lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she has told me that she has a Skyline Chili about 2 minutes from her house, and she has never been. So my question to you is, what is wrong with her, and how can we remedy this?
You know what? You just got to come to Cincinnati more often. I'll be honest with you. That's the only time in the year that I ever eat Skyline Chili is when you come in that visit that we have in December. So I hammer the cheese conies. You go with the... What
the four-way, yes.
The four-way without onions, I believe.
No, it's without the cheese.
Oh, without the cheese. Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, I honestly, I think Jenna might have it right, my friend. But you know what? If I'm going to have Skyline, I would not want to have Skyline with anyone but you.
All right. So I'll be there in December. Anybody that's listening that wants some Skyline Chili in December, if you're in the Cincinnati area, please reach out to Tom. We'll get it on the calendar. Maybe we'll have like a Skyline event where we talk about advanced planning and cheesy conies at the same time.
Well, you know, I think it's cinnamon that they put in that chili. That's secret ingredient. So, anyway, we'll probably have like five different meetings and they'll be at Skyline when you're there in December.
That sounds spectacular.
Magical.
Yeah, the smell is deafening, if that makes any sense, when you walk into a Skyline Chili.
Yes, it does.
All right. Last thing for you, and then we'll let you go. Any last advice for our listeners in regards to either working with Penn Mutual or just being a successful financial professional in general?
You know, honestly, I think the advice that I would put out for anybody getting started in the business, whether it's from a planning standpoint or even a wholesaling standpoint, is any other industry, it's called plagiarism. In sales, it's called research. And what I mean by that is get together with your peers, learn what they're doing to make themselves successful. It doesn't mean you have to completely duplicate and copy what they're doing, but make certain things that they're doing your own and continue to develop and learn off of that. Build as many relationships as you can. It's a very small community, but it's a community that typically will reach out and help because it's a community of abundance. And, you know, that's one of the things that I like most about Penn Mutual is that we look at this business as a business of abundance, meaning there are certain things that we are going to be very good at, and there are certain things that maybe we're not going to be good at, and we're going to do what we do well in our chosen markets to our best of our abilities. So get out there, meet people, share ideas, learn from others, because there's no other way to do it than that, in my opinion.
Terrific advice. Well, Tom, we like to say on Life Matters, a Penn Mutual podcast, if you can't sing, just sit down and you can sing. So you could be back on the podcast anytime you want. So thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, Nighthawk.
All right, Dragon. Have a good one. So to clear up any confusion that all of you might have in regards to why Tom called me Nighthawk and I called him Dragon, Tom and I, as you might have figured out by listening to that interview, are both big fans of Will Ferrell movies. And at the beginning of the movie Step Brothers, which came out in about 2008, the two main characters call each other Nighthawk and Dragon. So we almost immediately started calling each other that, and we've been doing so for 15 years or so. So again, just wanted to alleviate any confusion that you, the listener, might have. So a couple of housekeeping items before I leave you here today. If you have a question for me or for Tom or anybody associated with the show, you can send me an email to lifematters@penmutual.com. That's a special email box that only I have access to, and I do respond to every email that gets sent there. Again, it's lifematters@penmutual.com. Also, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever your favorite podcasting app is. Subscribing or following the show is the best way to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes. Also, if you do subscribe on Apple Podcasts, stop by and leave us a review. We already have a number of reviews on the show page, but having 5-star reviews definitely helps boost visibility of the show. So stop by, leave us a review. It only takes a few seconds. If you write a little paragraph saying nice things about the show, I'll be your best friend. So please stop by and leave us a review when you do have a chance. With that, for Tom Meyer, I'm Bill Bell. Thank you so much for joining us here today, and I'll be speaking to you again soon.